Greetings to everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus. Welcome to folk visiting, and may we find God's presence among us. It is his promise if we gather in his name. Let us come with his name and his glory as our great delight and objective. A number of notices for you. Not a great deal. There are a number of things printed out for you, but I should probably highlight a couple of fresh things this week. On page 2 of the notice sheet, there's a Thanksgiving service arranged for Friday, 26th of June, in the evening. Please do try and come to that, and we're going to be spreading word to folk who have been part of the congregation as well, and see if they and perhaps many other friends might come. Giving thanks for the time that we've had together over the past number of years. So please bear that in mind. More information will come out about that in due course. And likewise, the communion service the following Sunday, that weekend, to encourage you to be available for that. One other item that's not on the sheet, and I have mentioned it before, is that the Family Education Trust, which is Norman Wells, who is up in around Twickenham, who runs this, they have their annual conference on this coming Saturday. I just have the one flyer and piece of information and so on, but if anyone is interested in it and feels you might be able to go, please talk to me afterwards and get a hold of this. But it would be encouraging, I think, for if anyone can get along to that. But we come for the worship of God, and we hear the words of the ancients: "Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." So let us praise him and praise him for the strength that he gives, by turning to sing together in Psalm 46. It's the traditional version. You'll find it on page 271. Psalm 46 on page 271. And we'll sing the first six stanzas, verses marked 1 through to 7. "God is our refuge and our strength, in straits a present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Though hills amidst the seas be cast, though waters roaring make and troubled be, yea, though the hills by swelling seas do shake. A river is whose streams do glad the city of our God, the holy place wherein the Lord Most High hath his abode." And we'll sing then through to the first mark, 7. We'll stand to sing, and we'll stay standing after that to pray together.
God is our refuge and our strength, in straits of present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Though hills amidst the seas be cast, though waters roaring make and trouble,
O Lord, you have made that promise to be together with your own people, where even a few gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus and in your name. We pray that we might know the impact and the significance of your presence among us today. Whatever our circumstance, whatever the concerns of our hearts as we have come here, we pray that we might be found in the peace that such of your word assures us, that when we draw near to you, you are our refuge, you are the place of safety and of well-being. It is only in you that we find wholeness and health and fullness of life, that gladness that only you can provide, a gladness which is not just for a moment, but enduring. Lord, we come to you as the one who is able to give, to lift up, as well as to set down. May we not trifle with you as we come, but acknowledge you as the Almighty One, the one who is far beyond our every imagining, but the one who is also pleased to surround with your loving and mighty arms the needy, the one who cries to you, the one who seeks your help. We pray, Lord, that as we do seek your help, we will know the help that is most vital to us, to be transformed in our lives, that those things that we allow to overcome us so easily will be themselves be overcome by your Spirit at work in us, that we will know what it is to come into your holiness and to be found acceptable before you. We pray, Lord, that we will never underestimate the fullness of your holiness, that we too might be bowed low, mindful of our unholiness, our sinfulness, but yet knowing also that you are able to cleanse and you are pleased to cleanse, where we walk, come humbly before you, where we plead the name of the Lord Jesus, where we ask that you would receive us in him, that you would accept us as righteous because he has taken our sins upon him, that we will come in faith, even as you have called us. We pray, Lord, that you will grant pardon of sin, that you will take it far from us, cast it away. Do not be mindful of the sins that we have committed, but receive us rather, mindful of the great gift and offering of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is hardly a wonder, O Lord, that you said of him, "This is your beloved Son, in whom you are well pleased," and may our great pleasure also be found in him. We pray, Lord, that as we go on in this time of worship together, it will be all done and sought in his name for his sake, that he will be our guide, that your Spirit will lead us and show us the way, teach us what is acceptable, and be at work in our hearts to receive that and to live by it. We pray that this will be worship that builds us up also for whatever it is that lies before us. You alone know, and yet you are pleased to set us upon our path and lead us in our lives. May this be for your great glory. We pray for those who cannot be here and ask that you would watch over them. We pray that you would uphold where there is illness or injury or some failure in health. We ask, Lord, that you would grant provision, grant patience and strength in the midst of it, but also that you would grant recovery as you are pleased to do. We pray that as we receive of you, each one for the needs of our bodies and of our minds and our hearts, that we will know that this is that we might serve you and lead unto your glory. That this would not be of ourselves, but we would take our delight in giving over our lives, that you grant us, giving them over unto you. We pray for any who might have been here but have chosen to go pursue after other things. We pray, Lord, that you would prevail upon their hearts and grant them that healing, that they might once more seek your face. We ask that you would be with some who might be serving you in different places, and whether in word or in works of mercy, asking for your upholding grace for them. And grant, Lord, your near presence as we are joined together, as we reflect on this and as we have done so often in the past, that you bind together your people from so many different parts of this world. And we thank you for the girls who are here with us today, and pray that you would be with their own family, with their own congregation back in Australia, as with many others there. We ask, Lord, that you would uphold them and be their keeper in all the ways that they go. Hear us, we would pray, O Lord, and do dwell in the midst of us, that we would not be shaken, that we would stand firm, knowing that our hands are in the hands of our God, the one who endures forever, the one who is unchanging, and who rules over all things. Be our refuge, we pray, and keep our hearts today, for your own name's sake, for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn now to read and to hear God's law as God spoke it first to the people of Israel, having brought them out of Egypt. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This is the rule of thankfulness which God has given to his people. May he bless his word to us. And likewise, we seek his blessing as we turn to our continuing readings in the book of Numbers. So Numbers chapter 32 this morning, and beginning to read this morning at verse 20 through to the end of the chapter. Numbers 32 at verse 20. Thank you. Now, in the previous section of the chapter, you might remember that the people of Israel had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and they had come at the promised land, the land of Canaan, from a different direction, from the east rather than the south. And so they were on the east side of the Jordan River, in what is now the country of Jordan, and so on. And they had conquered a number of the nations in that area, and so they had found good land there on that side. And 2.5 of the tribes of the 12 asked if they would be able to take this as their land. And they made a promise that if that could be theirs, they would prepare the way, and then they would go with the rest of the nation across the river and help them to conquer the land before they returned to their own. And so we take it up at verse 20. Then Moses said to them, "If you do this thing, if you arm yourselves before the Lord for the war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you may return and be blameless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do what has proceeded out of your mouth." And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke to Moses, saying, "Your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our livestock will be here in the cities of Gilead. But your servants will cross over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, just as my Lord says." So Moses gave command concerning them to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, "If the children of Gad and the children of Reuben cross over the Jordan with you, every man armed for battle before the Lord, and the land is subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead as a possession. But if they do not cross over armed with you, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan." Then the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, "As the Lord has said to your servants, so we will do. We will cross over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, but the possession of our inheritance shall remain with us on this side of the Jordan." So Moses gave to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with its cities within and the borders, the cities of the surrounding country. And the children of Gad built Dibon and Ataroth and Aroah, Atroth and Shophan and Jazer and Jogbaha, Beth Nimran, Nimrah and Beth Haran, fortified cities and folds for sheep. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon and Elealeh and Kirjathaim, Nebo and Baal Meon, their names being changed, and Shibma, and they gave other names to the cities which they built. And the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it, and dispossessed the Amorites who were in it. So Moses gave Gilead to Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt in it. Also Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took its small towns, and called them Havoth-Jair. Then Nobah went and took Kenath and its villages, and he called it Nobah, after his own name. And so far, reading in God's Word. There was the very deliberate process of confirming that undertaking that had been made, the promise that it was not to be a casual thing, but it was to bind them. This inheritance that God was giving to the people was no small thing. You might notice as well that Moses went to Eleazar and Joshua and to the chief fathers of the tribes and went through it all with them as well, because remember, Moses himself was not going to go into the land. These were to be the leaders, and they needed to know the terms of the agreement. But there, these men made that undertaking, and we do find through history that this became part, at least in the prosperous times, part of the land, the territory belonging to Israel. But may God bless his word to us as we read once more. We'll turn to sing again now in Psalm 25, as we have it on page 30. Verses from 14 to the end. Psalm 25 at verse 14, page 30. At verse 14, God's friends are those who fear his name. With them his covenant he will share. My eyes are always on the Lord. He'll free my feet from every snare. Turn to me, Lord. Show me your grace. I suffer pain and loneliness. The troubles of my heart have grown. Deliver me from my distress. And through to the end of the psalm from verse 14, standing to sing again.
God's friends are those who fear his name. With them his covenant he will share. My eyes are always on the Lord. He'll free my feet from every snare.
Open our Bibles together again, and reading also in the Old Testament this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, reading from the beginning, and we'll read to verse 30. Second Chronicles 20. Previous chapter is referred to at the beginning, so that is where King Jehoshaphat, the king in Judah, brought in considerable reforms in the city and in the nation to bring people back to the fear of the Lord. And so we take it up at chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "The great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple, and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. And Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil. They found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Beraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Beraka until this day. And they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Praise the Lord. May he bless it to us. Let us bow before him in prayer. Eternal and unchanging God, the God of Jehoshaphat, our God also. Let this word be a word of power today. May your Spirit be near to this word and to us, that we will lay hold not just of the things or even the doctrine, the teaching, the example, the patterns, but as we've been demonstrated to us, that we would lay hold of our God, believing in you. And so much more than it was for these folk so many years ago, because you have presented us already with salvation. And as the apostle says, that if you have given us your Son, will you not also give us freely all things? We must seek your pardon, O Lord, for so often being afraid more of men than of our God, afraid of our circumstance more than our God, occupied with our circumstance more than our God. And we ask, Lord, that you will pardon, and that you will renew, that you will lift the veil from our eyes. Many of us have confessed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see him more clearly today. May we see that in him we have not just the abundance of jewelry and riches from a battlefield, but an eternal inheritance, one that cannot be taken away. And if we have not yet laid hold of Christ, grant, O God, that we would see him, know him to be the way of life everlasting, life eternal, full and free in all its fullness and abundance. And grant your blessing, O God, as we look again on your dealings with men. That though there were many, many troubles, but the waywardness of your ancient people, waywardness of so many sins, our own wanderings, yet, Lord, you are in all things reaching out to draw us to yourself, that your great long-suffering, patience, and the riches of your goodness call us to repentance and to the newness of life in Christ Jesus. And grant, Lord, that we would each know this and know where it leads us, know and delight to be found following the Lord, though it is so different from the world in which we live. We pray that you would hold us fast that we too might hold fast our confession, that we will know that it is never going to be in vain to labor in the Lord. Pray that you will help us through the difficult times, those times of labor, but help us to never to avert our gaze, never to look rather at the stormy seas or the great obstacles that might be before us, but as it were again to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord, your salvation in Christ Jesus, and that in him, in his grace and in his Spirit, we will know strength and the joy of the Lord to be our strength, to persevere, to press on, earnestly desiring what is before us. Pray that you would set these things firmly upon our hearts in the midst of everything, the cares and the concerns that we might have, those things that might be personal, individual, for the young folk in their exam time, that this would avert stress and that they would know that in your hands they are able to serve well, to put in good work, and to know your leading as suitable in these demands that are upon them. For others and for parents and in families, with the various burdens that we might experience, grant, Lord, that through all of these things we will know that you are unfailing and ever near to us. In the circumstances of this congregation, we pray, O God, that you would grant that we too might set our eyes upon you and know that you are the leader. You will take us in good paths. May our rest and our hope be in you. We pray for Roddy and Esther. We thank you for them being with us this morning. And as they have the prospect of moving to Scotland next week, we ask, Lord, that you would uphold them also. May they know strength and a peace of mind in the circumstances that lead towards that, in the all that's involved in moving house. We pray that you will continue to open the way before them as you have done. Grant blessing on them in whatever does lie ahead of them. For all others too, Lord, who are engaged in gospel ministry of one kind or another, we ask your upholding grace. We pray again for the Comptons in Canada and the trouble that has afflicted them, and for Ishbel particularly herself as she is cared for in hospital. We pray for great wisdom for those who care for her, and we ask, Lord, for care, good care, for her husband and her family, for upholding in all that might be anxious for them, that they might know your near presence and grace. We would pray too for this MP from the Isle of Skye who is to be leading a prayer in Parliament on Wednesday. We thank you that these prayers are still being held. We pray that these will be meaningful and not just a form or an activity that is still part of the old patterns. We pray for him and give thanks for his Christian witness that this has been recognised, that he should be called on to do this, that he may know your upholding in that place where many eyes are upon him. And so too for others of your people who are in positions of authority in government, we pray that you would, particularly them, that they would be light and salt in the leadership of this nation and through the many different parts of the world where they might be found as well. And again, asking for our Queen in her service of the nation. We would remember, as we think of gospel witness, we pray in a particular way for our friends in London City Congregation, for Andy Pearson and his fellow leaders there. We ask that you would guide them, and may they know that your peace upon them, and particularly as they might be reflecting on the future in connection with the folk here as well. All, O Lord, we bring to you. We too are of a mind that so often we know so little, would our eyes be on you, even as you would set your eyes and your heart upon us, as we plead before you, and as we ask all, only through Christ Jesus, our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Lord, in his name and to his glory. Amen. This thing, there's just a few verses in Psalm 123, short psalm, page 169. Let's sing together. Whatever might be around us and even troubling us, may we be as the psalmist and as Jehoshaphat, lifting our eyes to the Lord. To you, O Lord, I lift my eyes, the God enthroned above the sky. Psalm 123, these two stanzas, will stand again to sing.
To you, O Lord, I lift my eyes, the God enthroned above the sky, as servants watch them on the hand, all before them is stressed and so to the Lord our eyes be raised until his mercy deed is slain. O Lord, upon your mercy show, take pity, Lord, on us below. Look on your people, how all have known our poor content has made us groan. The proud are common us with shame, with insolence they mock our
You may have gathered that my attention this morning is drawn particularly to words in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12, the end of the verse. Amongst so much else that is of great value that Jehoshaphat prayed, he comes to this place, the end of his prayer, might say a conclusion to his prayer. In verse 12, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. In the past few weeks or months, we've been looking at times, at events in the book of Acts, the early church. And you know there were times when the church was faced with various crises. For example, we've read recently of a couple of occasions when the apostles were hauled up before the council and forbidden to speak in the name of Jesus. And they go away and they praise God and ask to be helped to speak in the name of Jesus. But it was a crisis. What is going to happen? What do we do? How do we respond to this pressure that's coming in upon us? And so there was with Israel. We have read of one occasion, there are many others like it. There was one where we were reading recently in the evenings in the book of Samuel, where the ark was lost to the Philistines. What are the people going to do? And we face points of crisis in our lives. Times when our usual pattern of events is disturbed. Times when we may well be faced with the question, what do I do now? And it's then that we become more aware of how helpless we are in reality. We do not know what's just around the corner. There are many times when life seems to be going along through its ordinary patterns, and we forget that we don't know what's around the corner. We forget that we don't know what's going to happen in the next hour, or day, or in the years to come. But it's when the crisis arises, or a particular shift in our situation, that we are faced very often with that question. And we have to say, not that we do say it very often perhaps, but we have to say, we don't know what to do. And this situation, Jehoshaphat shows real wisdom in his response to this crisis. And in his response, I think he shows us a pattern that should be present throughout our lives. That in the crisis, we might say, I don't know what to do. But in every part of life, do I know what's next? How often, if we're honest, do we actually assume that we will know tomorrow will be just like today? There are four good things I would especially highlight, but it doesn't really cover the whole of this account. But four things in particular that I want to highlight that we may, I think, and we must look for in our lives that are demonstrated here in this experience and the leadership of Jehoshaphat especially. The four good things, first, is to admit our own ignorance. And the second is to set our eyes on the Lord. And these two things are in verse 12 in that short conclusion. But further on in the chapter, I think there are a couple of other key things that we should observe. The third good thing is to make praise our strength. And then fourthly, to receive quiet and rest, as the chapter that section concludes. To admit our own ignorance, to set our eyes on the Lord, to make praise our strength, and to receive quiet and rest. First, to admit our own ignorance. And we start with Israel and Jehoshaphat. It was the scale of the danger that made them come to this place that brought them, led them to be afraid. Verses 2 and 3, Jehoshaphat feared because of the news of the enemies. And actually, when you realize that Mount Seir, as it's described, that this was Edom, when they were involved, it reminds me of Jacob. When the father of Edom, Esau, his own brother, was coming to him with 400 men, and Jacob was afraid. And it was in wrestling with God that night that great blessing came upon the nation. But there, there was a huge danger for the people that they realized very quickly this was far too much for them to manage. Perhaps for times before this, as folk might say today, ruling the nation was a bit of a doddle for Jehoshaphat. All was quiet and calm, and it was you could just put things into place. And he used the opportunity. He did put things into place. He cultivated again the worship of God. That in itself may have had significant challenges, but we're not told about that. It was just he put these things in place. But these things, this fresh system of governing the nation, was based, chapter 19, verse 9 says, that he said to the judges, you shall act in the fear of the Lord. And it was a good foundation for what was to come. There were exceptional events that he didn't know about. They hadn't been revealed to him. But he was establishing in the quiet times, establishing a foundation for the times that would be difficult. I've often said that we need, when times are good, we need to be training ourselves in the ways of godliness, resting upon the Lord, not knowing when that might be tested, when we might be tested, and how will we stand that test. And a very good friend who used to be a soldier before he was converted, he told how he couldn't understand. He was quite a quite an outgoing character and a bit rebellious, and he couldn't understand as a soldier why every day he had to polish again his parade boots. He never used them. They were never not shiny, never worn out, but he had to polish them again. But when he got into battle, he realized it was that he would automatically respond to his officer. He was obedient. He had been trained in obedience. And so it is for us too, that we need to train in the quiet times for the hard times, so that we will sort of automatically turn the right direction. That's what Jehoshaphat had been doing, and now was the time of test. We don't know what to do. We're helpless in this situation. He's prepared to admit that. That's not a thing that comes easily to anyone. To you? To me? We don't do it easily. That's why I highlight this is one of the good things, one of the necessities in our life before God. We don't know what's next. And to be open about it, honest, to recognize ourselves as he makes us known, not as the world would have us regard ourselves. And perhaps especially now for us, all of us, as the weeks tick by, do we really know what to do? And I suspect there's many ways that all of us are saying, well, not really. There's a lot of unknowns. And we don't know. But that, you know, friends, that is sometimes a very, very good place to be in. That we can begin to assume so much. Do look back to chapter 19. The way that Jehoshaphat was preparing while he could. There was a new heart that was beating within Jerusalem. And it was a preparation for these days when they did not know what they were to do. I don't know if anyone remembers who was here. There are only a few of you who were here 13 years ago when I first visited here, not knowing, and I don't think you knew then, who your minister was going to be. And I turned to this text, one of those services that day. And think, you're looking objectively, God's hand was in the years that have passed. I say that because I think it's a useful reminder too from our own experience of the way that God does work if we put our eyes on him, because that's where Jehoshaphat goes next. The good thing was not to go on strong and say, well, let's make this plan and that plan and the rest and so on, and that so often happened. Jehoshaphat followed the model of David, his forefather, who every time would pray to God first. Do I go out to battle? What do I do? You tell me. You show me the way. You fight for us. It was only when he resorted to numbering the people to say, well, look how strong we are, that disaster came. Has the Lord been at work for us? And now we don't know. Yes, we have things we can be working at. That's part of this picture too. I'll show you in a moment. But how can we find out? If I don't know, how can we find out? If Jehoshaphat doesn't know, if the people don't know, how could they find out what they needed to know? He says, but our eyes are upon you. So that they could live their lives, that they could get up the next day and do what was necessary. The second good thing that was about was to set their eyes upon the Lord. Their eyes are on you. It's an ongoing process. They are keeping their eyes on the Lord. They're watching him, as though for one aspect of it might be that his move, his next move, will decide our next move. Where he goes, we will go. It was that in the wilderness. The next chapter in Numbers tells us step by step of the journey that they took. And we're told elsewhere that it was because God led them. They did not move until God moved. They stayed when God stayed. Their eyes were on God during that wilderness wandering. Also, our eyes are on the Lord to see what He will do for us. And that was certainly the case eventually in this account. But how do we find out what we don't know? This year is the bicentenary of the victory at Waterloo, led by the Duke of Wellington. One of his remarks he wrote, he said, talking about the battle, he said, "Endeavour to find out what you don't know by what you do, the action you take. Take an action to, as it were, provoke the revelation of the information. Get the enemy to reveal himself in that case." And in a way, Jehoshaphat has done exactly that. We don't know. So we're going to do something so that we can learn, so we can find out. What does he do? Sets his eyes on the Lord. That's the first course of action. It perhaps doesn't meet many people's idea of action, but it was. It was something so different, it was something so transforming, something so radical. It is for us still today. Not to find our own solutions. But this was his taking action, was to turn his attention to the Lord. And then the things that followed. It's not to say it will be easy. It's not to say it's a light thing, not a simple thing to set your eyes upon the Lord. There might be a time you take a glance, but it can be particularly difficult. It's a discipline to keep your eyes on the Lord and the way that He goes. It may mean waiting. It doesn't sit well with our rebellious hearts. It's not an easy thing. I don't pretend that for a moment. It is the most difficult thing for all of us. Is to say, not my solution, but let me follow the Lord. Again, the Duke of Wellington said to his soldiers, "It will be hard pounding, gentlemen." He meant, this is going to go on, and it's going to be tough. But who will go the longest? He's the one who will win. It's not going to be easy, but will you endure? Will you stay there? Will you keep your eyes upon the Lord? And we did pray earlier. He's the same Lord today. He has not failed once in the intervening years. Let's keep our eyes on Him, hard though it might be. Praying fervent prayer is not easy, but it is how we go about setting our eyes on the Lord, that our attention is given to Him. The obedience that's called for from the Lord as He moves, that we move too, that won't be easy. I can't imagine it was an easy thing for Israel at this point. They heard the Lord's word. It was a wonderful promise. But still, they had to go out in their small numbers facing this great army. Should not pretend that it's going to be an easy thing to follow the Lord's way. But there is strength. The first response, the first action that was taken to gain knowledge and understanding was to set their eyes upon the Lord. That's two good things. The third good thing that we find here is their praise. Praise became their strength. This was the other thing that Jehoshaphat did. He set out what was going to follow. The prophet came and spoke this word of promise. And so, what is their response? the Lord had said, prepare yourselves, position yourselves in verse 17, but he has already said you will not need to fight in this battle. And so what do they do? Verse 18, Jehoshaphat worshipped the Lord. Verse 19, the leaders of the praise stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Praise became their strength. Perhaps Jehoshaphat remembered Jericho, where the people marched around the city singing, and there was praise to God. They did nothing of themselves to fight a battle. God fought it for them. But they engaged in it, and their strength was in praise. Now think about it. What were they doing? They were praising God before the battle had ever been won. They praised God. It's a reminder to us that praising God should not depend on seeing even an answer to our prayer as we see it. It's not for us that we should wait and see before we praise God. Jehoshaphat shows that. Israel shows that. He's already done so much. He deserves praise. It's worthy of his name simply because he is God, sovereign, divine. Praise belongs to him. And it's when we serve him in praise that God is pleased to draw near and to be our help. It was in response too to his word, the promise. In one sense, God hadn't done anything yet, but he had said, we will praise him because of his promise. He said he would do it, and that is enough. Jehoshaphat saw what all this was and the way before them. And what does he say in verse 20? He says, middle of verse 20, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. That word that has come, rest on it, trust in him, and it will be well with you. So we see that the army did prepare. They were not yet there. In verse 24, it tells us that they came. Later on, they came to the place overlooking the battlefield. Before verse 24, it's telling us that they were praising God. They were not yet even facing the enemy. They couldn't see them. The battle hadn't been entered, but they began to sing and to praise. The weapons were not sword and spear. The weapon was the strength of the Lord, rejoicing in him. This was the faith that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. And they put themselves in God's hands for God to work out his purpose and his promise. So quickly we've had three good things. Admit our ignorance, set our eyes upon the Lord, make praise our strength, and the fourth good thing that we see in this chapter is the conclusion, that they receive quiet and rest. And that was an exceptional blessing for the people of Israel through so much of their history. They received this quiet, first of all, because the Lord had devastated their enemies. It became a rare lull in the history of Israel because, as these chapters demonstrate, it was a rare time of great faithfulness on the part of Israel. And God blessed them with quiet and rest all around in verse 30. It shows us even now the wisdom of and the benefits of keeping the Lord first in our sight, in our eyes, in our lives. When he speaks, we put our trust in him. It's his word which is powerful to save, to give new life, even as he first gave life. Trust in his word. He has spoken. He will do. they received quiet and rest because of that trust. God was pleased to work on their behalf. They didn't even have to fight, but he opened up the way before them. They found rest, they found quiet. And Paul writes to the Philippians, the same threads that we find here in this chapter. He begins by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice." And he goes on, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Jehoshaphat and Paul, separated by years, centuries, but not at all in spirit. What about us? What about you? In all the uncertainties of life. And I make no apology for provoking in you, I trust, some recognition that no day is certain. But in all those uncertainties, is praise your strength? Are you prepared to admit that, no, I don't know, and I cannot cope, I cannot do this in my own strength, but that you will set your eyes on the Lord, you will set your trust upon him? Just to gather together then, I think the more that we think we know as to how to go through our lives, the more sure we are of our knowledge, the greater our danger will be. This is a tremendous reminder for us, I think, in this chapter, that the Lord is most pleased to draw together to all who will rest on him, even for their knowledge. This is not at all a counsel or advice to let go and let God, as was doing the rounds some years ago in the churches. Jehoshaphat doesn't do that. He doesn't just say, well, God will take care of it, we'll just sit back in my palace in Jerusalem. He is thoroughly engaged throughout this passage. He is earnestly praying to God. He is vigorously leading his people. And God says, go out to the battlefield. He went out to the battlefield. Although God said, you don't have to fight this time. He wasn't a sit back and wait man. But he found this quiet and rest because he was a worshipping man. Back in chapter 19, he reinstated worship. He was a praying man as he confessed ignorance. He was a trusting man as he confessed the Lord's rule and knowledge. He was a praising man. He was thoroughly engaged with the Lord and with the need that was before the people. But still, he relied on Moses himself. As the people had been delivered out of the nation of Israel, they found themselves confronted by the sea. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. And friends, that reminds us, as I close, that it's not just about circumstances. As a congregation or as a family, not knowing, turning to the Lord, praising him, finding quiet and rest for your soul. This is about your salvation, most of all. Has your heart come to the Lord in this spirit? Confessing your own ignorance. Lord, I cannot save myself. I do not have the answers. but he does. Turn your eyes to him. Look on the Lord Jesus. Turn your eyes to him who is the only one who knows your heart truly. Trust in him. Trust in his word. He has assured us of the truth of his word in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus. He has given his son. Not a single word that God has said falls empty to the ground. And praise him. Just as he said to Jehoshaphat, he says to you and to me, in our battle against the great enemy, which is sin and death, he says to me, you do not need to fight in this battle. But be there. Follow me. Receive me. Trust in me. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you. And then you too will find this peace that passes all understanding, guarding you in heart and mind, this quiet that God will give you rest all around, even with the turbulence of the nations all about them, even with the turbulence of this world and the tensions and the conflicts between the hearts of men. Trusting in what he has done, setting your eyes upon him, that you too will have rest for your soul and your spirit. Just so far this morning, this is God's word. May he grant blessing. May we hear what he says to us. We will pray together. Let us pray. Lord, perhaps even there were some who might have gone through the outward conformity to the nation that was praising, but still fearful in their souls. Some perhaps who would not yet acknowledge the direction that their king was leading them. But that there was the evidence that followed, that your word was utterly trustworthy. You have given us evidence all the more, presenting us with your son, your son, the Lord Jesus, who entered the battle, who took our enemies upon him, our sin and our death. May we be those who have all distrust taken away, rather that we might have a true fear of God, who can do such glorious things, such effective things. And would you speak with us, we pray. May we know the encouragement of the King to take heed to the words of the prophets, believe in them, and you shall prosper. We do pray, Lord, that you will show us the way before us. Perhaps just one step, but that we would be obedient and find the next opening before us. Grant your near presence and spirit, that we might ourselves be quiet in spirit, at peace, because we have the one thing needful to be at peace with our God. We give thanks for that. We pray that you would hear us all in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing together famous Psalm 23. But again, it's the traditional version, page 229, but though we may be familiar with it, let the richness of it be fresh to each one of us as we sing together this morning. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. And so on through. We'll sing the whole psalm, 23. We'll stand to sing.
The Lord's my shepherd,
His blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.